Good morning, good evening. It is morning somewhere. Welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the regular business meeting for Tuesday, March 4th. The time right now is 7 o'clock. Would you go ahead and call the roll, please?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Cuddaback, Rasmussen, Davis, Gamble, and Gearing.
Thank you. And Councilmember Gamble, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilmember. First up on this evening's agenda, we have announcements and presentations. The first item is the Ride Here presentation from the Monroe Chamber of Commerce. Come on up, Amy.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Thank you so much for having me with you tonight. I have just a couple of minutes. I'll try to go quickly, but you know how I can get about talking about tourism. It's really such a passion. I mentioned in the information that was handed out in the packet about our branding recommendations that were prepared for the City of Monroe back in 2007. And, you know, we're really fortunate to have this document. While some of the information is dated, the principles remain true. And so I kind of hope that if you have a chance to get back and glance over this document in the coming months, you'll do that. We also have the visitor assessment, which is kind of a lost document, but we still have some copies of that around. So I'm here tonight to talk about the message Ride Here. And what's really important for us here in Monroe is what people think of us. A brand is what people think of you, not what you say that you are. It's a perception. And this is a quote from Roger Brooks, who did prepare our branding plan for us. And he is an internationally known destination developer. And for us, it's really important because there are so many things in Monroe, so many different attractions. It can be kind of confusing for folks when we just present the message, the adventure starts here. It starts a conversation, but it's a conversation that we want to sculpt, that we want to get people thinking about us. And how do they think about us? What is there to do here? We want to convert interest into action. So we have a graphic with us tonight that I'm going to show you, but I'm going to just say the importance of converting this message is we want to reach out to visitors who are already coming here, and we want them to think more about why do they come to Monroe, why do they enjoy it here. We want to also reach folks who are thinking about us maybe in a lukewarm kind of a way, or maybe even in a negative way. We want to give them things to think about that are positive. But more importantly, we really want to reach those folks who aren't thinking about us yet at all. They're just not sure what to think about Monroe. We want to give folks messages about what we have the most of in our area, in our town, to offer, what we have the best of, and also what they do not have closer to home that they can get here. So some of those things are like NASCAR racing, the wakeboard event. It's nice to have Doug Hobbs here with us tonight representing the Speedway, and I know we have the H3O presentation coming up. Drag, drift, demolition, derbies, midget car racing, indoor motorcycle competitions, car shows, displays, these are all things that are happening frequently up at the fairgrounds and the Speedway. We have diesel trucks, we have the equestrian shows up at the fairgrounds. We have rodeo activities, RV shows, all kinds of things that really relate to one thing, and that is in Monroe you can ride here. So what we're going to do is put up our graphic that we came up with this year to kind of encapsulate this message. The graphic is really simple. And it is a little bit of a departure from what we've been used to seeing, and there's specific reasons behind that. This is a sort of a sub-brand, a sub-story that nests underneath the challenge sports of Adventure Starts Here. And we are using this in contrast with some really high-energy images of the different things that happen here, wakeboarding and the things that I just listed. We are trying to pump up the color of the colorways on those in those images, so we are retaining that kind of vibrant, saturated color look. But we also want to, when we draw the folks here for those primary lures, those overnight activities, we also want to give a nod to the other experiences, things that you would call a diversion once you get here. We want to help people kind of get a sense that, well, maybe there's some bistros and shopping and some historical value that we should also check. So when we come to Monroe to visit. So we have kind of designed this to reflect some of the imagery and some of the feeling of the historic community, which Monroe certainly is. We have started with the Cascade Loop guide and some other advertising that we are going to be working with, and this kind of demonstrates a little bit where we've pumped up the color and illustrated the some of the activities, the ride here theme, and then also incorporated the fairgrounds with the rides. So when you look at that, you kind of get a sense of the multiple ways that you can spend your leisure, some of the things to enjoy here. We've had a great time working with Mike Farrell and helping kind of work with him to get this messaging out. So I'm wondering if anybody has any questions.
Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. No question, but I love it. And I mean, just a comment then. I mean, I love it, and I love the ride logo because it's vibrant, but it still looks kind of old school a little bit. So it's, you know, it reminds us that Monroe is kind of a local community with history. So I love it.
Well, that's really what we were trying to accomplish. We know that our experiences, you know, they can be a little intimidating to people who don't have a six-pack like some of our young folks here tonight. We want to be accessible. We want you to come and explore, but really what we want to do is get you to be thinking about Monroe. Because, again, we can say all we want about ourselves, but until people have a top-of-mind awareness of us to kind of easily get that message and think of us for specific things, that's really the kind of brand development that we want to do.
I'd like the record to show that Councilmember Hanford came in during the presentation at the very beginning. Do any other council members have any other comments or questions for the chamber? Go ahead. Councilmember Gammon.
To echo council member Cutterback's remarks, yeah, it's good. It is good. And then, of course, you know, the fisherman in me wants to see someone riding in a boat. But that would be being picky. And then, I mean, it's very, very good.
You know, and it brings that does, you know, that is a good, you know, point to bring up. Because with this kind of targeted message, we can really start those conversations right. And stories about what does ride here mean? Well, it does mean riding on in boats, and it means all different kinds of things. But starting that conversation is kind of with that impactful.
Horses too.
And horses, yeah. And we rodeo. If you, we could. Absolutely, and we know people are coming. A lot of people are coming to spend the night. Really, with tourism, we kind of need to focus on what are those overnight generators. So, and certainly, with I can't wait to hear from H3O. We couldn't have timed that. So again, though, refer to your branding plan.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Sure. Annie, thank you for coming and bringing this to us. I'm in agreement. I really like this, and I like your comment about how this will really help give people a reason to come and then branch out to explore the other areas of our community, the downtown, the historical. And I think that's exactly what this should be doing, and I think we're right on. You're right on.
Great.
Thanks. Any other? Councilmember Hanford.
Yes. I echo the same thing.
Good. Okay.
So, Anique, just looking at the choosemonroe.com site, will these sorts of images then be integrated into the website?
Yeah, and it is our goal to really expand and deepen the conversations with PR as well as marketing and advertising kinds of placements. We just got the website up a year ago, and that's been going very well, but we were pretty utilitarian with some of our graphical choices. Okay. And we are looking forward to working with some other tourism industry folks on the Cascade Loop, because we are such an important part of the Cascade Loop, and so much of our identity is based on that. And so we look forward to writing more content, mm-hmm. more storytelling, and kind of adjusting things.
Well, thank you very much. And thank you to your board for all the work that they're doing, and as well as your membership. Let the record show that Councilmember Camp entered the room. Please. Councilmember Camp, there is a presentation on right here. I don't know if you've had an opportunity to, if you've got any questions or anything. We're just wrapping up.
I do not.
Okay, very good. Thank
I'm
you.
Being on the spot.
Okay, sorry. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, the next item that we have on the agenda this evening for announcements and presentations is the H3 update. Gene, do you want to go ahead and pull Councilman?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Unfortunately, H3O can't be here this evening. They had an unfortunate family emergency, and they're across the state. At least one of them is across the state, and the other one's out of state. So at any rate, I'm working to reschedule that for them, and they apologize that they couldn't make it this evening.
Council, do you have any questions about H3O before we move off that top and go to comments from citizens? Okay. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to comments from citizens. This is the time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. We do have some people that have signed in, and I'll go ahead and take those. We have six people that have signed in. You'll have 5 minutes, just so that we can, we've got a lot of things going on. And so the first person that we have is Mitch Weiston.
I'm Mitch Leiston. I'm at 15486 168th Avenue Southeast here in Monroe. I've been here about 10 years. Microsoft brought me here. I'm a consultant. I've also worked at Boeing. I'm also a musician. I played in different bands throughout my life. And through my travels, I meet a lot of different people, a lot of different attitudes. I'm here representing I-502. I'm someone who's for I-502. I wanted to kind of speak my mind and talk about it. I did hear, you know, I do have a little some concerns I wanted to voice. I did hear about some of the changes that the City Council was promoting. I just kind of read about it in the paper. You know, one of the things, you know, in terms of who I work with and where I live, I always kind of expect that we'd be law-abiding and, like, pro-democracy, what gets voted for and what gets approved is the way we kind of operate. Same thing as a musician. We all work in concert. We all work in the same key. Same thing with consulting. We all kind of work together for a common goal. So what I expect from the city where I live is that, you know, we kind of follow those rules. And some of the concerns that I have is some of the things I see happening now and some of the things I see, you know, recent history doing some investigation. What I'm seeing happening now is I saw the zoning that just came out, and I go, that's really positive. They're moving forward on this initiative. But then I did hear about that you're going ahead and trying to ban the whole shooting match. Didn't hear too much about it other than, you know, rumor, but I kind of investigated and find out that's true. It's going to happen next week, I think, or there's going to be a vote. I don't know that much about it. I'll be consulting. I won't be able to be here. But I did want to kind of talk about it. And I also kind of digging, heard about some of the things that happened in the recent past regarding, you know, the traffic cameras and some of the initiatives that happened there where, you know, the people's will maybe wasn't followed or maybe there was some thought about there's not enough resistance to this and we can go ahead and do it, but really there was resistance. So I would kind of want to call out that, you know, the mistakes might have been made in the past where the penalties were paid and, you know, you had to kind of had to revoke what was, you know, voted on because maybe due process wasn't followed. And I would say that take a hard look at what happened in the past and maybe try to not think about doing those mistakes again. And one thing I would caution you guys
is I wouldn't be fooled about the low turnout at these meetings. You know, I did read that, you know, we had one person for and like 19 people against. Just to kind of give some background and counterpoint to some of that, I just printed off, I went to the monitor and printed off the three articles regarding the last three meetings. And what I did is I just looked at who were the responses from the people. And I might just read a few notes, but there was eight responses against the three articles. The first one is from February 6th, council moves to ban pot, and there was three comments. The first one is, my glasses on, excuse me. One of the reasons why there are so few people showing support at the council meetings for allowing marijuana in Monroe, because just a few months ago, they were still throwing people in the cages for it, and the fear, you know, still exists. They throw some statistics about nicotine out here, about 480,000 deaths per year, and alcohol, and 88,000 deaths per year, and talk about how many places in Monroe you can buy cigarettes or alcohol, and talks about prohibition. But their point is it simply doesn't make sense to ban marijuana. Frankly, we need the money. That's comment one. Comment two, wow, looks like we all know where the black market's going to be in Snohomish. And comment three is if we're forced to tolerate a Walmart, we should at least allow a few pot stores as well. That was just from the first article, 3-4, none against. The second article on January 15th, residents speak out against pot. There was two comments. So the city of Monroe wants to pay for all the enforcement and get none of the profit and taxes from the state. Monroe needs to consider their course of action before the moratorium expires, because this will be the place where people will go to get their black market green. Okay, and then the next one is you can see how, excuse me, screwed up this process is by looking at the zoning document. Part H is particularly full of propaganda. I'm sorry, but the sad stories about how marijuana led people down the wrong path could easily have been about alcohol. Where's the outrage about multiple liquor stores? There is none. Remember, the majority of voters voted yes, so there's 5-4. And the last articles, I don't want to belabor this too much, but it's worth giving you some visibility, you know, that you might not have known about. As the new mayor has already mentioned, the majority of voters in Monroe voted to pass I-502 just because we're not going to the meetings to express what we already voted for does not mean the council members should be making decisions that directly go against what we already voted for. And that's by, I don't know, Dan Hacker. Kevin says, cities always seem to be concerned there's not enough new money. Monroe needs to think about times are changing. They may want to think about what could be at stake. And finally, when you have a meeting to decide something, it's the crazies. I'm not saying they're crazy, but it's the crazies who take it over with their ranting and demagoguery. If the city council wants to practice democracy, it should be by a vote of the whole city, not by outshouting other citizens.
And I need to ask you to wrap up.
Okay,
sorry.
Fine. So I'm not saying these are my points. I'm just saying these are the points of the city, the people who read the paper, 100% for. I would just caution you about thinking that, you know, there's no one in the city who would be supporting of this, because I think there's quite a few that would be. Appreciate your time, and just wanted to add some transparency to the conversation. Thank you
for your comments. The next person that I have on the agenda, the next person that I have that is signed up is Rosie Tattle. Tattle, if you could come forward and state your name and address for the record.
Rosie Tattle, 14969 174th Avenue, Monroe. I've lived in the city about 20 years, and I'm glad the idea that the Centennial Trail might be coming to Monroe in about 5 years. But as a bike rider, there's a more immediate concern I have. How about an area that within 2.5 years had 90 accidents? I'm talking about Highway 2 from 170 North to North Kelsey since the flyover opened. I have the report, copies of the reports, another time if someone would like to see them. When the lady was killed on Highway 2, people would come up to me and say they were glad it wasn't me. Little do they know what went through my house. This 911 call, it could have been a different story. It came close. It could have been the headline instead of Bike Crusader Days in the area where she tried to protect. Luckily, a driver noticed my trouble and gave me right away. And it could even have had a more dramatic effect if they connected with this article from the Herald front cover for Valentine's Day. Over 3 years, I've been trying to get this area safer for bicycles. There's one slight chance, 1 in 8 chance. The fairgrounds is working on their long-range plan for the fairgrounds. Mayor, thank you for attending their first meeting. One of their choices would be to get out of the way of the right-of-way they share with the DOT, which comes 18 inches from the buildings. In 87, when they were giving the right of way, there wasn't that much traffic in the city, and the troubles for people along Highway 2, pedestrians and bikers, was not what it was when it was created with the flyover. I'm going to hand out something after I talk that I want you to look at your leisure to see my experience of pro and con of bike riding around that area. Also, in the future, with Walmart coming in, that area is going to have more traffic. And you guys might want to widen it. Now, your one shot to really do it easily would be if you can get the fairgrounds off that right away. Because after the DOT is going to say the same thing they said to me. It would be a legal site that wouldn't be worth it between the county and the state whose property. So if you went for backing to push the fairgrounds off that, you'd have a better chance for widening that. And please help me fix it before someone gets seriously hurt or dies. I don't want to die the way my first husband did on a bicycle. And this book shows for three years how much I've been trying to get that area fixed. I've been able to get them to do one or two things. But it's not enough. Now, I understand in a few weeks the subject for the fairground for the town will be transportation. Unfortunately, depending on how my surgery goes on 3 days before, if I'll be able to attend that meeting or if I got to get my husband a proxy, because we're going to map out the different accidents and where they occurred. I was surprised looking over the things. There were so many that were near 179. That astonished me. But I'm going to do that. But if you have any contact of someone who I can give that to before the meeting or during, if my husband chickens out doing it, because I don't know how that timing will go. I'm going to just hand this. Do I hand it to him? And he
hand it to our city clerk right over here. Okay. Thank you.
One minute to go without coffee.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, the next person that we have signed up is Mr. Tim Herman. Come forward and state your name and address for the record, please.
It's Tim Herman, 12003 207th Avenue Southeast, Snohomish. Actually, right up here, but it's Snohomish address. I've been a backpacker all my life until... As I get older, I've been kind of focusing more on trails here in the county. And I'm a member of the Centennial Trail Coalition. And I'm a representative, in particular, for the Snohomish to Monroe extension of the Centennial Trail. And I want to thank you for the recent support, and I know that you folks have been talking about that. I'm really excited about the momentum that's beginning to happen. I've been talking to the county for 2.5 years now, and it's kind of been a slow start, but I feel like things are getting better, and maybe in 4 or 5 years might see something. But I'd like to talk to you folks about the Monroe side of it. I'd like to see the Lake Tai Trail system get extended maybe to the river, and then over to Al Borland Park. With, you know, because the county's long-term plan, this might be after I'm dead, but the long-term plan is to join in with the Snoqualmie Valley Trail, which is Duval. So if we were to create the trail from Lake Tai to Al Borland Park, that would be an enticement to the county to say, hey, we're ready for you, and we have something to offer when they get here. So that's just something to think about, that maybe we could have that at the same time as the Centennial Trail gets here. And right here...
You know, or alternatives that'll get people into town and want to try a few different areas to us. Because to me, linking everything with the past we have is a great thing we can work with.
Adventure starts here. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, and before we move on to the next comment, just want to note that we have transportation, Paul. Comments were regarding transportation trails. So we've got transportation happening for the 2015 comp plan update in March, March 27th, I think. And then we have the parks 2015 comp plan update meeting in April. Does that sound correct?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thursday, March 27th, there's a public workshop, our presentation. It's going to be at the Chamber Office downtown. And then the week we said in that's focused on the parks. That's coming up. That's a great opportunity to get involved.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you. The next person that we have is Dolly Leiston. Please come up and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dolly Leiston, 15486 168th Avenue, Southeast of Monroe. I'm here because the past few weeks I've been here. And since I've been listening to everything that's going on with I-502, I kind of started doing a little bit of research just more recently. I found out something very interesting when it comes to the AWC. That stands for All Washington Cities. I found that the AWC took a vote and they decided that if pot is going to be legal, yes, they want a portion of that profit. If it's going to be here, they want some of the money being earned. Everybody voted, but the city of Monroe. The city of Monroe said, not me, I don't want it. That's cool. The AWC went ahead and said, we're going to take the money. Monroe, you're not going to touch it. Which is, you guys voted that way, which is fine. But what that money could have been used for, could have been used for a DARE program in the schools. It could have been used for a drug program. It could have been used for extra police protection or in fighting the black market that, yes, we do have in this town. But then again, Monroe said, no, 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 no. I also read up on the traffic camera fiasco. And when I say I read up on that, I mean, I kind of did some research. Yes, the council voted, we want this in. Without the people voting that we want this in, when the people were like, hey, we want to take a chance at voting on this, the council was threatening to sue the same people who voted them into this office to say, you don't have the right to tell us you don't want these cameras. What ended up happening was Tim Iman came to this town, got everybody fired up, and realized this. And first, let me remind you, you also made $697,000 off of those cameras. Once the people were able to vote, the people voted, no, we don't want those cameras here. It cost the council and the city how much money? I don't want that mistake made again. I really don't. Now we're here and we're talking about 502. 502 has been voted on. The people of this town voted on it. 9 out of 12 of your precincts voted with the majority of passing it. No, these people aren't at these meetings, but they voted. That is what we're a democracy. We voted. It's the law. Time to enact it. That's what the state is saying. By the city doing their zoning the other week, you basically said, hey, this is where we said we're going to tolerate this business, this legal business. So now we have an area for it. If you decide to vote to ban and you don't have the people with you saying we want this banned and just you 7 people do this, I'm going to guarantee you some litigation. I will guarantee that the state of Washington is going to say, who is this city to tell us what the people voted for we're not going to go for? If you do this, who do you think will win? Do you think it will be Monroe, or do you think it will be the state and the people who voted? Your lawyer will tell you, we can do this, but your lawyer is getting paid whether you win or lose. I'm going to guarantee you in a state court, the state will win. You will be forced to hand out these licenses. At that point, could there be litigation again from the people who get this license because you refuse to allow them to open a legal business? I would call it discrimination. And if I were that person, I would not only sue you for discrimination, but I would go after profits that were lost because you refused me to open my legal business on time. Can the city afford that litigation? Your attorney will say, oh yeah, let's do it, let's do it. He's getting paid either way. What do you think the state will say? Again, I'm going to feel that the state is going to side with the business license. I'm sorry, that's just how it is. I've listened to people saying pot is this gateway drug. Well, if you're buying it from the black market, it's opening the gateway for you to go to some place and the guy is going to offer you, shit, you're having a party? I'll give you some coke. We can get some heroin. You go into one of these stores, and I'm going to guarantee you it's not what you're going to be offered. You're going to be offered strictly the cannabis or the cannabis edible. You could have somebody come in from the Liquor Control Board with a barcode gun and scan each product, and they will be able to tell you, oh, you bought this, you got this product from Mike, who's the processor, and Mike got it from Harold, who was the grower, and it was done on this date. The tight control is unremarkable. I can't believe it. You need to lighten up, Monroe. You need to go with it instead of trying to fight it. We voted for it. It's legal. Learn from your past mistakes. Do you really want this to happen again? And I can't believe how adamant I feel about this. But after reading, especially about the traffic cameras, I reached out to Tim Iman today. I can't believe, of all people, someone that I really don't think I would like, I reached out because I think this town has the right to do something that's legal. And I don't think you have the right to tell us. You can get your pot, but go to a different city and bring it to this city. I'm against you banning the I-502 altogether. And I hope you would learn from your past mistakes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next person that I have is Kathy Kane. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
Hi, I'm Kathy Kane, and my address is 25321 132nd Street, Southeast Monroe. And this is in reference to the possibility of banning a licensed marijuana retail store in Monroe. And I am in favor and support Monroe having a legal marijuana retail store. And let me just say that I think it's a privilege to vote. And I voted in every election since I was 18 years old, except for 1988, the day that my daughter was born. I voted in favor of I-502. My 83-year-old father, who resides in Monroe, voted in favor of I-502. And just reiterating what Dolly and Mitch stated, many of the residents of Monroe, obviously approximately 56%, also voted in favor of I-502. So now that we've cleared that up, that the majority of the voters of Washington State are in favor of it, some of those voters you all represent. And regardless of what some of your moral objections or personal views or opinions may be, it's my understanding that as a council member or a legislator that you are to represent those people. And so that is just one point that I wanted to bring up. And the other one is that if you ban a store in Monroe, that you shift the revenue away from Monroe and into other cities, into their coffers. And I just, as you wrestle with this decision that we keep bringing up tonight, I would just like you to consider those two points. One is, are you voting what your personal beliefs are, or are you supporting the representatives of this area in either banning or supporting the store? And can you really afford to lose revenue that Monroe might get from having a store of this nature? Because if it doesn't come here, it'll come either in Duval or Sultan or Snohomish. So those are the two points I wanted to bring up. That's it. Any questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
The next person that I have to sign up is Nicholas Barrett. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
Hello, thank you for having me. My name's Nicholas Barrett, 24716. I'm on behalf of the I-502. I disagree with banning dispensaries from this city, and partially for a testimony that I'm willing to share with you. For a city, Walla Walla, for instance, banned dispensaries, and I have family over there. My grandma, in fact, she hasn't a medical issue. And when we came to her and explained to her the medicinal value of marijuana, she became very excited and willing to try something new, an alternative medicine. And the only problem was that it was, no dispensaries, no way to get a green card in her city. So that forced our old grandmother, recently deceased husband, to travel a great distance to obtain this. And it was a great deal of strife, great deal of, things that she didn't really want to go through. All that said, I feel like that could have been avoided, that she could have been able to have access and that it wouldn't have been such a stretch for her or dangerous on the road. I care about my grandma. You know, she's an older woman, you know, and she voted, you know, she votes. She pays her taxes, all this stuff. She's an amazing woman, but point being, there are patients and people who will suffer from traveling, you know, even one state over or one city over, depending on the debilitating disease that they may have and what their medicinal requirements may be. So, all that being said, I'll keep it brief. I would hate to see patients suffer from having to travel if they can't drive, and I personally know a few in this city who can't drive because they have such a turmoil disease. And so I'd like just to bring that to your attention, that people would be having to, it'd just be a, more of a hassle, more loopholes for people to jump through. And I think that's a little unfair for people who, you know, have grown up and live in this city and can't move, you know, and they can't leave their house. So that's it. That's all I have to say. It's my short testimony. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, is there anybody else that would like to come forward to speak during public comment? Come forward. Please state your name. Please state your name and your address for the record.
Yes, my name is Sandy Messenbrink, and I live at 11925 205th Drive Southeast. And the first thing that I wanted to comment on is everybody, just briefly on the Ride Here logo. While I know that people have put a lot of time and effort into this, I've talked to a couple people, and we're kind of the feeling that it's kind of plain and boring and antiquated. And our feeling is that there's nothing in this logo that pops and reflects the fact that we live in a very beautiful city. We would like to see something that reflects the fact, something that's nature done. This kind of thing looks like something that was stolen from Coca-Cola, frankly. And I think we can do better than that, is my opinion. Just saying. And I'd also like to comment on the 502. I'd like to thank the city for not approving marijuana in this city. It has been reported that our fellow state of Colorado, who also approved marijuana, that they're now reflecting and reporting the fact that the drug cartels are moving in there, and they are moving in there at a very high rate, and they're operating openly. Now, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to say, well, there's no guarantee that the drug cartels are going to come here. But no one in this room can guarantee that they're not. We've already hired extra police in this town. And personally, in my opinion, I don't think it's our job to create extra work for the police. We already live in a town with a prison. And I think it is our job and our responsibility to try to recognize other people's problems if we can nip it in the bud. There's absolutely no reason why we can't say no. Observe what happens in other cities. Observe what problems and mistakes they have. And make a choice up the road to add it if we so choose. But it's awfully hard to pull back and take it back. But it's much easier to add it later if we feel like we can learn from other people's mistakes and problems. And I also feel that trying to correct a horrible error is going to cost a whole lot more money than to do the right thing after we see what other people have had to do at their own expense to do it. I'd also like to comment on a group called SAM, S-A-M. This is a group of people that include Patrick Kennedy. Patrick Kennedy, as you are very well aware, is the from the Kennedy group who suffered professionally and politically and was ruined by marijuana and other drug abuse problems. He is leading this group, and a lot of the things about marijuana have not come to the forefront and were not brought out at the time that many of us had the option to vote for this. They are bringing out many of the things, including the fact that this marijuana that is now out on the market is not our father or grandpa's marijuana. A lot of these people that voted for this are against genetically modified food, but it's okay to have genetically modified pot. And this pot is four times stronger than the stuff that used to be out years ago. Now, if you're going to look for some marijuana that's just going to give you a slight buzz, great. But you're not going to find it hardly anymore. And if you really, truly want it, most of the people that drove here can also drive themselves to get the product if they so far feel that they have to have it. It's not going to be that difficult. It's not like you have to drive clear to the other side of the state to get it. One county away, many of us, according to the survey that was done, 85% of us are already driving out of the area to work. A lot farther to go to work than we would have to drive to go get marijuana. So, in my opinion, I feel that the city did the right thing, and I'd like to say thank you. I hope you consider what I've said here, because I know that there's a lot of people that are afraid to come forward to be considered antiquated, old-fashioned, prude, and I just think that the city is really not in a position to try to deal with what kind of problems that other areas are going to see when this, when all the permits come and the storefronts come in. And I really do thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak? Anybody else? Anybody else? Are you coming forward to speak or just... Okay. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Josh Cummins. I live at 230 North Madison Street, Monroe. I'm here in support of I-502. And I just want to state that I voted against I-502, but it got passed. So we got to hand out the licenses. That's what I think. Because excuse me, I'm nervous speaking.
No worries.
It does feel weird that, you know, the majority of a population can vote something, and then a very few people can say, well, we don't want that here. Go somewhere else. I just feel that that's I just don't feel that that's right. I feel that's anti-democratic. I think that if people vote something in, you know, let it work, let it play out, because the black market will come here if people can't get marijuana legally, which the dispensaries, I believe, will close down. So if there's no way for people to get marijuana legally and they can't drive, well, they're going to go to the black market. It's just bottom line. And thank you for your time.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak tonight? Please state your name and address for the record.
Hi, my name is Stan Barrett. I'm at Ben Howard, 28828 Ben Howard Road. So I don't know if that qualifies me or disqualifies me, but I was a resident here for 10 years. Actually, if you had it. A few more, probably 16 years until just recently. When you went to ban the pit bulls, I moved out of town, so because I didn't want my pit bull fixed or, you know, tagged and that kind of thing. So he's living a happy life out on the farm. I wanted to state my support for I-502. I'm coming to the party late. I'm not a user, so... per se, but I've gotten involved in the medicinal side of the marijuana thing, and I think you heard my son talk about my mother in Walla Walla, and I wanted to add to that, you know, there are so many people that are suffering from sleep issues, sleeplessness, and Parkinson's, so I've seen some incredible transformations on the healthy side from people that have taken the medicinal, you know, kind of embraced the medicinal side of the. It's, someone said it's a medicine until you heat it, and then it becomes a drug. So there's a lot of misinformation out here about what we're talking about with this issue, and you know, if you take the medicine, you can take up to 60 times. In the raw form that you can when you heat it, and you get all the medicinal benefit without the psychoactive effect. So I'm speaking to you as I own a winery in Woodinville and an international business, and so, you know, I'm seeing it from many, many facets from around the world. It's in other cultures, it's embraced, it's growing 10, 12 feet high in India, where my other son is going in a week. How much time? Sorry, I'm not getting this out too well, but his experience in India is just spent a year in India, and he came across a lady who she was taking calcium pills and couldn't walk, was in constant pain, just in a miserable state. And if anyone knows India, there's no safety net, there's no emergency room you can take somebody. So he was the Western resident, Western person there, and he said, well, take raw milk and see what happens. And she started drinking raw milk. He saw her a month later, and she was walking, she was pain-free. And then we found out later that they were feeding these cows the cannabis that was growing. That was like the only growing thing. They didn't know to burn it and smoke it. They were just feeding it to the cows. Well, she was getting the medicine, presumably ingested through the cow to the raw milk and all the benefit there. And I'm just putting that out there so you guys can do a little bit of research and not be so freaked out. That there are basically two sides to this equation here. And another story, my aunt, and I come from a family of doctors and nurses. Well, when my father passed away last month, we were all together, and everybody was whispering because they knew we were talking about cannabis. And they didn't want the other brothers and sisters to know they were talking about cannabis and interested in the medicinal side of it, because they grew up in the pharmaceutical industry, dispensing thousands and thousands and thousands of pills and, working in the ER and so forth. So my aunt has Parkinson's as well. Her hands were shaking, and I got her this Rick Simpson oil. It's a concentrated cannabis oil. She took it three days in a row while we were there together, and she said it was the first time she'd been able to sleep in 6 months through the night. And she had three good nights of sleep, and she said, look at my hands. And they, before they were shaking and after, they were steady, And if you do the research on YouTube and so forth, you'll have your eyes open that it's a bigger issue than just what we grew up on, that, it was just kind of a fun recreational drug. And so I've said my piece. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before I ask if there's anybody else who would like to speak, Councilmember Hanford?
Yeah, there's some papers left up here. I'm not sure who's.
Me. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak? In back and then right there. Can you please state your name and address for the record?
Okay. My name is Erin Angus-Napka, and my address is 421 South Lewis Street. Regarding the marijuana, whatever is least likely to get us sued is fabulous.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Yes, sir. Please state your name and address for the record.
Hi, my name is Dylan Hefner. I live on 12312 247th Avenue Southeast, Monroe, Washington. I was not planning on speaking, but what the heck. I guess I could relate with Nick's story. My grandma has cancer, and she currently lives in Nevada, and she was up here for the holidays, and I was very surprised to hear her talk to me about cannabis as she was looking for an alternative medicine, because she's been on tons of different pharmaceutical drugs and things like that. Nothing's been working. It's really fascinating to me as I've been learning more about it and everything, and things like CBDs, which are cancer-fighting part of cannabis. And we've been talking about trying to get her a green card down in Nevada. She hasn't gotten one yet, but I really, she's been having not only chronic pain but nausea, which I really think that she could benefit from cannabis. And this is someone, my grandma, who's, she's my grandma. I would not expect her to come to us and be like, oh, I'm thinking about getting my green card. I'm like, oh, really? Awesome. Nice. Okay. But I've been learning a lot more about it and everything, and I think she could really benefit from it. And I just thought of this, watching the whole ride presentation as far as the advertising Monroe. And one thing I think that wouldn't help, like, making Monroe a cool spot that people want to go to is banishing cannabis. You know, why do we have to demonize something? Why can't we work with it and try and come up with a positive way to recreationally use, you know? I don't see why that would be a problem. So, anyways, that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak? Anybody else? All right, seeing nobody else, we're going to go ahead and move off of comments from citizens. Student representative report. I don't see Karen here today. Do you have anything? Oh, council member? Camp?
Okay. No, I don't. Nothing.
Not that you're a student.
Not from the student representative.
Okay, consent agenda. Councilmember Gehring.
If there's nothing to prove, I will make a motion. Thank you for recognizing me. If there's nothing to pull, I will make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, I have a first and I have a second from Councilmember Wizette Camp. Okay, any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. The next item that we have on the agenda is unfinished business. It's AB 14037, General Fund 5-Year Budget Forecast. Diane?
All the information that's in the packet tonight was given, I believe, in February. Tonight I'm going to go over the...
Excuse me, Diane. Could we have somebody close the door while we're having the discussions out there? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rosie.
Tonight I'm going to go over the forecast and explain the assumptions that are behind it. This is, as discussed in the Finance Committee earlier tonight, this is a fluid document that a forecast is only as good as the information you have today. And so we're using this as a management tool, and it'll constantly be tweaked as things change and as more information comes to light. And so that way we want to start working with this so we can see what can we afford, what can't we afford, how are we going to address the growth of the city. And so I gave you each a hard copy of the actual forecast itself, because sometimes it's kind of hard to look on the screen. I'm going to go through the PowerPoint presentation and explain all of what this, the assumptions are at the time. To actually just read this forecast, the first row is the beginning fund balance.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Can we turn off the overhead lights so it's easier to see? Sorry, Diane.
Does that work?
Thank you.
No, sir. You have seen it.
Okay. So, just to help you read what this is, you see each year there's a beginning fund balance, and then there's all the major revenue categories, and then we have expenditures, and then we have this line here called under expenditures. These are items that were budgeted, but the administration has elected not to spend, just to save money, because we are rather tight for funds. And I'll show you what makes up those things. Where are they? Can I go back? There. Okay. What makes up that $213,996? Is not filling the economic development management position after what we've expended so far this year. The parks maintenance position, not filling that. And then the difference in between a community development director and a planning tech assistant. And then if we continue to not fill those positions each of those years, that's the future amount that we would be not spending that's already been approved in the budget. So that's just so you know what makes up that number. And so back here. Okay, so that being said, then we also have some one-time expenditures in the PowerPoint presentation. I'll go over that, what makes up that $1.3 million. So overall, what it means is we meet our restricted fund balances, but all we have left is $85,000. That's it for the general fund. This forecast also, as you can see by this line right here, no funding at all for the street maintenance fund. So that's something that I'm hoping this forecast will bring up a discussion so council can talk about what policies are we going to make to fund a street fund in the future. Yeah.
Councilmember Cutterback.
That's okay. I will listen to you. Down there in the, you have the undesignated fund balance, restricted for emergencies and restricted for public safety. Do you have the contingency fund anywhere down there or no?
No.
Okay.
In the contingency fund right now, there's the budgeted transfer of $250,000 to
general fund. Yeah.
The last of the hardship money. And then what's left in the contingency fund is the restricted fund balance, which is about
$900,000. Okay.
And at the end of this presentation, I'll tell you the three priorities that we're looking to council for direction from. Well, I'll just tell you up front. The three things that I'm asking out of this is we have $500,000 for the permit fees that we need to come up with. $300,000 for Walmart, $200,000 for the Housing Hope Project. Housing Hope. we need $500,000 in permit fees that I'm going to need to bring in the first budget amendment of this year. So my suggestion is to use the restricted fund balance, and we discussed this in the Finance Committee meeting tonight, is to use the restricted fund balance from the contingency fund. That will take council action, though. The other thing is future funding for the street fund. How are we going to fund the street maintenance? And the third thing is this forecast assumes no addition to staff whatsoever. Now here, see this net operating revenues and expenditures line? As you can see, according to this forecast, it's in the black all these years. So we hold our own, but in the meantime, the city's growing and more demands are placed on our services, i.e. we need more staff, and this forecast does not have room for additional staff. So that's something we need to figure out, some policies of what services are we going to provide and how are we going to provide them as the city grows. So that's those are the three things that we're looking to council for direction for is the $500,000 in permit fees, funding street maintenance, and how are we going to grow.
Diane, we do have a couple of lights here.
Okay.
So Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Diane, when you say no additional staff, does that include the associate planner that's been discussed previously or not?
No, it includes the associate planner.
So as existing staff, not as new staff then, right?
Yeah.
All right. Just want to make sure I was clear. Thank you.
Councilmember Gary.
Oh, thank you. Councilmember Gamble stepped out of the room. By the way, we made Councilmember Camp the chair of the Finance Committee tonight because he was absent. So when you're absent, you get made the chair of the committee. So,
thank you.
And we did get a little bit of background on this. All the same questions that Councilmember Cutterback had as well. And to your recommendation, at least I'm assuming you're going to... Yeah, no. You just did mention that you were the restricted fund. In the reserve policy that we came up with... Councilmember Gamble and I were looking at that. There's a very specific statement that does dovetail right in with what Diane was recommending. So, from that standpoint, it does make sense. But
The Finance Committee looked into what the reserve policy said, and there is a provision in the reserve policy that says that allowable uses of designated, reserved, or restricted fund reserves are limited to a one-time, non-budgeted required expenditure, which these current fees would fall under. And it says that reserves shall be replenished at a rate that does not impair established programs or create undue hardship. So it would take council action, so I would propose putting it in the first budget amendment, calling out that what council is authorizing the use of restricted fund balance and the council's intent to pay that back.
And if I may just continue that, the discussion that took place afterwards along those lines is we have other land sales that are coming up, so we're going to have, as we did to fund it in the first place, there's going to be money to replenish per the policy. Thinking about, oh, we're going to spend this money, but we're going below a certain level, but it is allowed in the policy, and there is a plan with specific land sales on the horizon to replenish, whether we do it all at one time or maybe take it from two. That was covered, so and Councilmember Gamble stepped out, but we were comfortable with the plan that Diane was proposing.
And before Diane continues with her presentation, let the record show that Councilmember Gamble did walk out as the presentation started. Thank you.
And so I guess my only other comments would be, as I brought up to you earlier, we don't have values for the street maintenance fund, so you're asking for that. Certainly adding, even if it was like $100,000, $120,000, whatever a bare bones might be, would certainly have an impact here, changing the forecast. And then I think you said the number used for the Walmart was 450 thousand, which is a reduction.
We'll okay. Go through that in
if you're already going to cover it, then I'll just wait. Sure.
Councilmember Hanford, do you have a point of clarification? Since she's continuing.
Yeah, were you going to go over estimated street maintenance funds or proposed?
Not tonight.
Okay. Just be curious to know, like, city's hour size, the average cost, so that we know what number we
Yeah, that's what they're asking for the finance committee. And tonight I'm going to just go over the general fund forecast and what assumptions were put into it. And then I can, in the next meeting, I can bring forward a breakdown of the street costs after I got the grant, and how much it costs for like snow removal, how much it costs for street light, and what things are you're going to have to pay for no matter what, and what how in what condition do you want to maintain the roads, and there would be very costly. So
thanks, Mayor.
So that's the plan. So tonight, probably not get a policy out for the street. My goal mainly was to get a head nod or direction for the permit, $500,000 of permit fees that we have come up with, and hopefully to talk more about future fiscal policies of how we are going to.
Diane, before you continue, I think Councilmember Cuddeback's got a question for clarification.
I just wanted to add that we had our first transportation meeting. I was going to report on this later, but our committee met last Monday, and we did list one of our topics as street funding, and we were going to discuss that more at length at our March 10th meeting. So we were going to look at the possibilities of how to fund it and all of that, and so that will be a topic. So
because it is
covered
transportation. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, this is what the spreadsheet you're holding in your hands, this is what it looks like on graph, the operating funds and expenditures. So you can see, but we're holding our own. For the property tax revenues that you see on the forecast there, I put in 0.1% levy increase. I've asked you guys for it, I never get it, so I said, okay, I get it. The total assessed value has a 5% per year increase for market inflation. The new construction estimates for new construction assessed value that comes on every year, in the forecast, it's put in at $15 million a year. For 2014, it came in at $14.6 million. For 2013, it was only $2.8 million, our wonderful recession. There's a one-year lag before new construction comes onto the tax rolls. So in 2016, I added $2 million for assessed value on property tax for Walmart. And 2017, $628 for discount tires. Just the same, used comparables that are already there in the city. And those two assessed values are added in the forecast on top of the $15 million we're just automatically expecting every year in construction. That's how we came to the property revenue. In the packet, there is a property tax Excel spreadsheet that has all the numbers itemized in case you like detail. Sales tax revenue assumptions increase about 4% per year for growth. Population estimated to increase about 2% a year. Walmart's sales tax is estimated at $300,000 for 2014 because that's the revenue we get from construction and the very last tail end of the year when they open up, we'll get some retail sales tax. For 2015, we put it at $450,000. Walmart's analyst, market analyst, said that they believed that the retail sales tax would be $550,000. The reason we put 450 is because there will be a dip in other stores' sales tax for the shoppers that will switch, like say from Fred Meyer to Walmart, or you know from Safeway to. There will be a dip in other stores, and plus their revenues might have been a little optimistic. So that's why they said 550, we said 450, and then we put on the 4% increase each year after that in the forecast. $45,000 was added for in 2015 for discount tires. Utility tax revenues are other big tax revenue source. This is the tax that goes on electricity, gas, phones, and water utilities. It's estimated at a 4% each growth for each year. This is based on population growth and utility rate increases. Because the tax is on the gross amount billed. So as electricity and gas and phones raise their rates, our tax revenue goes up. There is a reduction in phone landlines, so we are seeing the phone utility tax dip a little bit. And then we added on $15,000 for the additional revenue we're going to get since we have absorbed Sky Meadow Water Association. Other revenue assumptions, CPI used 1.7% for inflation for 2015 through 17, and then 2% for the last 2 years. And the latest published CPI for our area, well, they've since come out with the next quarter, but 1.3%, I think it was a little less than the last quarter we just got. The CPI of 1.7, I got that from the Washington Financial Forecast Council's quarterly reports. Gambling tax, we put an increase of $1,000 a year. That's from, I called over to the police, to Debbie Willis, the police department, said, what do you think it's going to be? That was her guess. Emergency management grants just continue. We've been getting about $15,000 a year from them for the last few years, not getting it anymore. Planning permit revenues are based on department estimates. We had a sit down with Paul, Brad, Gene, and the mayor, and went through a realistic as we could be today, of what developments specifically we thought were coming in, what permits were coming in, which years we thought they were coming in, and based on that is how we did the planning and permitting revenues. Municipal court revenues and expenditures are added for the years 2016 through 19, but they are added as cost neutral, whatever the revenue is, the expenditure is, because our assumption is that the new municipal court will be cost neutral. Interfund transfers. 2014 has the $250,000, the last of the three payments from the contingency fund, and real estate excise tax transfer of $100,000 for parks capital maintenance that we transfer to the general fund. And this is legislation that the state allowed, because usually we have the money is only allowed for capital expenses and capital construction. This is the capital maintenance, so we're allowed to use it until 2016, so we're taking advantage of that. Salaries, benefits, and taxes. The municipal court position bumped up to full-time starting in 2015 because it's only budgeted for half-time for half a year in 2014. Six of our police officers are at the bottom of their pay scale, and so to account for that, we've added $20,000 a year to for step increases of $3,000 to benefits and tax, the payroll taxes, to offset to account for the fact that besides inflation, they will be getting step increases. Positions that are requested by departments but not included in this forecast, these are positions that are needed today, not even positions that will be needed 2 years from now, 3 years from now. These are what departments feel they need now. And it's two police positions to parks, the compliance and enforcement officer, code enforcement officer, and an accounting manager. And so that's stuff that we're just making do without now, that is not budgeted, is not in the forecast, let alone the fact that the city's going to grow and we're going to need more. So just throwing that out as a caveat. Other expenditure assumptions are use the same CPI inflation rates for the expenditures as used for the revenues. District court expenditures are taken out of the service and charges line item on that forecast for 2016 through 19 because the municipal court, we're assuming, we're just going to handle those functions. And the street fund will need support starting in 2015. In a perfect world, it'd be $1 million a year. But that's the engineering estimate. Isn't there a formula that they use? If you have so many miles of street, you assess so much dollars to it. For us, it would work out to be $1 million a year. In the forecast, there's under the 2014 line column, there's the one-time expenditures. In those, that's $1.3 million there. And in case you want to know what makes up that, this is it. It's the $850,000 transfer to the North Chelsea Development Fund, transfer to the sick leave reserve, comp plan, the IPC, downtown signage, GIS mapping intern, municipal court, startup equipment, police equipment, bridge planning. This is all stuff that's been budgeted that we intentionally were spending down fund balance for these items. And these are not included in operations. We are using one-time fund balance for these items. And that was all in the 2014 budget. But I just wanted to call them out in case, because I figured when you're looking at the forecast, you can see that we have this $1.3 million for 2014, and then we don't have any capital expenses afterwards. So I wanted you to just know what these one-time expenditures were. Unfunded liabilities, the permit fees, that we need to come up with the first budget amendment of this year. And okay, it says these items will be the first budget amendment. That's the $500,000. Reserves. Our emergency reserve policy on the general fund is 17% of operating expenditures, which is approximately $2 million, which we do meet. And the reserve and the policy of the contingency fund is 8% of the general fund, and it, which is currently at $900,000. Okay. Here you can see, you know, where we are. Our 2014 forecast shows the revenues and expenditures real close together. Ideally, you have a trend where your revenues go up with your expenditures, always having a small gap in between. These are a survey of operating policies for fiscal policies. I just did a down and dirty call with these cities and asked them. I said, what do you guys do? And Snohomish doesn't do a five-year because they're too short staff. They said they just budget year to year. Redmond, of course, has the crumb de la crumb 26-page policy on long-range planning, and it's all based on
good
the government. You know, they probably have an entire department
my page
just
is too long.
For this policy. Everett uses the standard model, and they force it to be structurally balanced, which means that anything anyone asks for, they plug into the five-year model. If it works in the model without them going into the red, you're allowed to bring forward your new program. If it puts the, you know, if you don't have funding or can't figure out a way to make it fun for it to work within the five-year model, you're not allowed to bring it forward. And so that's how Everett operates. Sultan has an outdated forecast with no formal policy. However, they do have a reserve policy that they maintain. Snohomish County has a five-year plan with a positive trend, but they take actions to make sure it stays positive. They don't allow any expenditures to come up or any programs to come up that wouldn't make it go negative. Marysville has a five-year forecast but no official policies. It used to trend downwards, but they said they just recently changed it, and they have informal policies. Like things like sales tax from construction can only go to one-time expenses, not operations, because that's not an ongoing, where sales tax from retail is considered ongoing. So, you know, different cities, entities look at it different ways. So the next steps are, ultimately, we'd like to get an operating fiscal policy that says, okay, you're allowed to spend this money on this, you're allowed to spend this money on this, and it would just be a good guideline footstep for the future. It doesn't necessarily have to be formally adopted by council, but it would be nice to have at least an informal policy. It would certainly help staff if we knew council's preferences of how to manage the funds. So if there's not a policy, what do you want to do for 2016? Because street funds coming up, and we're going to have to take care of that. And we're going to continue to monitor 24 actuals and tweak the five-year forecast as, you know, more information comes to light. Like if the sales tax starts going up, we're going to change the forecast, obviously. Sales tax starts tanking, or utility tax, you know, changes, we will change the forecast accordingly. But anyway, that's how the forecast came about. These are the assumptions that went into that forecast. So as you can see, it's a positive forecast right now, but there are some elephants in the room, that being, you know, the street fund and ability to handle growth. And so my hope tonight would be to get consensus on how do you want to handle the permit fees, the $500,000 permit fees. So is council, do you want to talk about it? Are you amenable to using the contingency restricted funds? It's the only place I can think of that we have money. Because if you look back on the forecast, there's only $85,000 in the unrestricted fund balance. Yeah, as you can see right here, there's only $85,000 available funds there. So, I don't, to come up with the $500,000, I would suggest using the restricted fund. And then I can bring forward later street fund discussion, you know, with a breakdown of the expenditures.
Okay. Councilmember Gehring has a comment.
Thank you, Mayor. And again, as you brought up earlier, and we had the chance to discuss it, per the policy, it does, I certainly think it makes the most sense to go the contingency route because we have the way to pay it back as well. Both of those items were in the policy. That's specifically what it is for, had been thought out previously, put into that policy. So that makes the most sense. I mean, that's what it's for. It is for situations like this when we have something that's not budgeted. With regard to street maintenance, I'd certainly like to see it budgeted every year. But again, it sounds like, you know, we need a little bit more data,
yeah,
and we'll be able to maybe plug some of those numbers in within the next, you know, in a month or so.
I can bring back street maintenance costs, yeah, and you can decide at what level you would want it to be, and then we can figure out how to.
Which will then shift all the numbers in here. Yeah, and I appreciate that this is a very living document. So as far as an operating policy, if we want to start doing that at the next, bring that to the finance committee, and we can certainly hash that out in the months ahead. It sounds like it said, does council want one? It sounded very clearly that you do. And so from that standpoint, it's like, well, you know, let's start talking about it and get in front of council and kick it around, right? So if others agree, maybe we start with that in the committee, and then we, or maybe not, or maybe we'd start with the whole group. But we're going to be meeting anyway and talking about the other funds to plug in, then why not? So.
Yeah, the mayor is asking me to start working on a policy, too, so I can bring one forward and you guys can
committee it, and then we'll full council it or whatever.
The goal there with the policy is that if we have something in place before staff begins putting together the 2015 budget,
sure,
it provides guidance as to what council's expectations are, and that's a little bit of timing associated with that.
No, that does make sense. And again, I appreciate the hard work. I appreciate all the numbers that you put in here, answering my questions earlier. But if you're looking for direction, at least from my standpoint, what you suggested and per the policy that we already have, I think it makes the most sense to do that. For the $500,000 that you need. My thoughts. Thank you.
And I do see that Councilmember Gamble has pushed his light. I'm going to recognize Mr. Brazel first, though.
Quick question, Diane. Where's the 0.1% for the police officers shown in here, or is it shown in here?
It is shown in there. It's in the sales tax revenue.
Okay.
In fact, I can show you under the detail. Okay. In your packet, you have this spreadsheet, but here's the detail. There's the local retail sales tax, then there's the PD voted, and then there's what we get for the police department for criminal justice from the county. And so those three lines make up the sales tax revenue that you see in
gotcha.
The podcast.
Anything else, Gene? Okay. Councilmember Gamble?
No, I just would reiterate. I mean, I think it's great that we would be moving or looking at. I like the 5-year, you know, operating model. I think, you know, for my druthers, just familiar with looking at things like that, and I think it gives a clear structure for staff that, you know, when they're looking at projects and staff and, you know, or asks that they have something to work with, as opposed to, you know, just coming to the budget session and, you know, man, I really want these, you know, type of deal. And, but having to go through that process up front, it makes it a really more succinct ask when you're able to present it with numbers. It's already in an operating policy procedure that we are all familiar with. I just think it would help the flow when we get into the third and fourth quarter of this year and start looking at 2015. And it forces us to start looking at structural, you know, stuff in the budget. To make those decisions. So, and I do support, because it is in keeping with the policy, the one off there on the 500. But, you know, it's easier for me to swallow that one because we know we have the, you know, resources to fund to put it back. They're just down the road a little bit. So that's all I have.
Okay, Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. I have to echo those comments. I agree with them. I did have one question for you. You said there was a timeliness issue about having a plan. Is there a time limit or a restriction we need to be aware of?
So the only timeliness is one of convenience.
Okay.
That timeliness of convenience being that staff, if I'm not mistaken, will begin preparing a budget in roughly July. And so if in order to inform the decision, guide the decision right. for it, having something in June would be convenient.
I was just concerned because of Councilmember Gehring's statement about bringing this plan before the Finance Committee. If there's time, apparently there is, so that's not an issue. Again, I echo everything that has been said so far. Good job, by the way.
Councilmember Cuddeback.
Thank you. Thank you, Diane, for all the information in the report. Very helpful. Just a couple comments. I agree, probably the contingency fund is really pretty much the only money we have available to fund about the $500,000. So I agree with that. I mean, it doesn't look like we have another option. I do think that in the future, street funding has to come somehow out of operations to have that steady stream. So, I mean, hopefully the Transportation Committee will look at that too and look at ways we can fund that. So the $500,000 coming out of contingency fund, that's going to more than half that.
Yeah.
So, and when we were doing the 2014 budget, we weren't talking about that. That wasn't on our radar when we approved the 2014 budget. So I'm looking at your one-time expenditures that we budgeted in 2014, and, you know, just maybe ask council if we want to kind of relook at those and if there's any that we would hold off doing. I think the least that we take for that $500,000 out of the contingency fund to pay for that the Walmart and Housing Hope makes sense. And the one-time expenditures that are there, I mean, obviously the North Kelsey Development Fund, we need that, correct? Mm-hmm. And we have a policy around the sick leave reserve fund that we set up when I was on Finance Committee. And the comp plan, I mean, that we have to do too. But I'm unsure of the, I know we put a hold on it. I'm all for the downtown signage and wayfinding. I'm totally in support of that. And we put a hold on it because of the comp plan. But those three, the 25,000, the 20, and the 10, I mean, it's only 55,000, but I don't know if we want to relook at those and go, are those, you know, essential this year? Do we try to budget those in another year? Because we weren't, when we made this budget, we didn't consider that 500,000. We might have budgeted a little bit differently if we had had that. And I can't remember what each of those are, to be honest. I don't know what the GIS intern mapping project is. I remember us talking about it. I don't know offhand exactly what that is.
Did you yield for a comment?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, on the innovation partnership zone, the 25,000, that's a one-time expenditure. Don't you already have that reflected as something that we would...
The under expenditures tab.
Yeah, that's in the
under expenditures. Yeah, under.
So I think, yeah, we're already counting on some of these
are already not doing it.
So it's already in the budget is saying, hey, we're not going to do.
Okay,
specifically
so even though
to your point.
Okay,
right?
So they're listed here as one-time expenditures, but
we have
in the forecast you didn't include.
Forecast, I took it out, yeah.
Oh, you did. And did you take out what exactly did you take out?
That's a good. That was that list from 2 weeks ago too. We had.
It might have been the meeting I missed.
Here you go.
It's a good point.
Okay.
Patsy, and we discussed this exact same thing, and some of it's already reflected in the budget.
So the under expenditures that you're seeing there, or savings would be another way to put it, are items that are in the budget, and all of those items were ongoing expenditures, so they were not one-time expenditures in that under expenditure tab. Is that what I saw?
That's different, though. That was staffing that we're not filling.
The IPC is not in under expenditure. I thought it was, but it's not.
Not? Nah. Well, then that would be one.
So it's just a suggestion, and maybe the Finance Committee looking at that is, I mean, we've got this $500,000 ticket here. Is there other ways besides the under expenditures there that we might want to look at shaving? Because I think trying to keep as much in that contingency fund as possible is that's necessary, knowing that we still haven't funded street funding in this at all. And, you know, the street funding might ultimately have to come out of the contingency fund next year. We don't know that. And in order to fund it until we can get a steady revenue stream. So just a suggestion, those three I looked at and said, okay, what's essential, what's not? Is it something we would look at not doing this year? So those are my comments. Thank you, Diane.
Councilmember Campbell.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with the comments there. I guess, but what I need clarification on is when we discussed in committee, so are all of those one-time expenditures not reflected?
All of those one-time expenditures make up the $1.3 million.
Right.
There and are not included in the under expenditures.
Okay, not included in the under expenditures. So then, we should, because when we were talking about it earlier, we were talking as if those were included in the under expenditures. So that's a.
Except with the IPC, I'm sorry. The IPC for sure.
Well, the IPC for sure we specifically thought
that
was in the under expenditures.
Exactly, and it's not both. So that's the 25.
That's the 25.
That's where Cudbeck was talking about. We can scratch that right off.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, we can have a recommendation and chat about it.
I think
it's worth more discussion and if possible.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. When we were in committee, we thought that those were already in there. It's obvious that they're not. Looking at this, but we thought that when we were talking, that it already was in those
under expenditures. And those are just staffing.
So that is definitely
a deal for one more number. Yeah, and a little bit more of a sacred cow, but we did talk about $100,000, for fields as well. If we're in a world of hurt, I think we're gonna have to consider everything if we don't have
a line on it. Yeah.
I don't want to, but
I mean, we have to be thorough.
Fields can come out of capital money. We do have capital.
Okay, well, if there's different. If we're considering everything, then let's consider everything. But that would not be one that I would want to do.
Yeah, that's out of REIT.
It's out of REIT, then never mind.
Yeah, and that's a reflection here. This is general fund dollars as opposed to REIT funding. REIT is capital expenses, so that's a different fund.
Never mind. Thank you for yielding.
No problem. I still have the floor. But to that point, it's something for council to think of, because we had this discussion in regards to a music fest. Mm-hmm. To seriously think about that, laying out an expenditure of that magnitude, knowing what we know here, because that would come right out of this.
Probably.
So just a thought.
Okay. Councilmember Hanford has remotely plugged his light. Councilmember Hanford, are you done?
Yeah,
Councilmember?
I'm done. Okay. I'm good.
Councilmember Hanford.
You brought that up, and I'm going to just kind of slide this in because we are talking about budget. I was going to bring it up later on, but I really am wholeheartedly in agreement with what you just said about the music fest, and contemplating and rethinking through everything. We took the gamble last year, we knew, and it was a good hit. And I don't want to do that again. And so I don't think we should do that again. And so it would be good to see a business plan from, whoever is going to head it up. Whether it be Keith or the city, or how all that's going to work, just rethinking that from what we talked about 2 weeks ago. I really want to see some solid data before we spend a dime on this thing.
And on that, Keith Brock is slated to be here for a presentation next week, and I believe the chamber as well as High Road Promotions will be submitting some information as well. So, and then the thought is that we may have a discussion on the topic, having had presentation next week, discussion on the topic on the 18th, so the following week. Do you have anything else, Councilmember Hanford? Okay. One thing, Diane, that I wanted to ask about is a couple council members were talking about the policy to refund the council contingency and from land sales. And so you and I haven't spoken yet about that versus paying off the debt at North Kelsey.
Yeah, right now there is a resolution on the books that council passed saying that land sales would go towards debt.
Okay.
As I say, it's a resolution, so it's not binding.
So is that, as we're looking at the debt coming due, is that a realistic expectation then that funds will be able to go back to council contingency?
Depends on how much we sell it for.
That's a good point. Okay.
So when we cross
good
that,
point,
we cross that bridge
member.
When we get there.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. We sell it all, we'll be good.
Okay. Sounds good. Councilmember Kent.
Thank you. I have one more question. So I heard mention of the field, the IPZ, and the Music Fest. I didn't see those on that one list you had. Is there a complete list of all items such as those?
Three.
I mean, are there any more?
The IPC is budgeted. The others
right,
are not.
Right. But and I assume that the intention is they'd all come out of the contingency fund. Is that correct? Yes?
Or
the assumption, from the comments I've heard.
Well, you don't have money in the contingency fund. I mean, you have a restricted fund balance, so I don't know where you would fund those things.
Okay.
Like the Music Fest, I think you would have to make a cut, which I don't fund, or I don't know where you would fund it.
Okay.
And I just want to be clear, the field, the $100K for the field at the school district is REIT money. That's real estate excise tax money.
Yeah.
So that's not part of the general fund. Unless you were to choose to take it out of the general fund.
All right. I just want to make sure I was clear on the monies that we're talking about, exactly what the source would be and where they're going to be going. Because if we don't have a complete list of what these impacts are or what these additional monies that we would be considering dropping, I would feel more comfortable if I had a more complete list. It just sounded like we didn't have a complete list.
The only items I know about that are not budgeted mm-hmm. are the permit fees, the
right.
Music Fest, and the $100,000.
Okay. All right. If there's anything else, you can send us a note or something. Let us know. All right. Thank you.
Council, have any other questions, comments? Okay. Thank you all very much. Can you turn on the light, please, Aaron? Or thank you, Councilmember. So we're now moving into new business. The first item of new business, item number one. is AB 14038. It's the Parks Project Update.
Thank you. And if you don't mind, I might just sit back here because I'm kind of a little under the weather.
It's all good.
Good.
Stay there.
Lucky John.
So this is a Parks Project Update. We have a couple months into the year. I want to update you on where we stand. We have a lot of projects that we had budgeted this year, 2014. And you can see in the description background on this agenda bill, I've listed out each of the projects and then the description is kind of where they stand. And at the end there, you see it's the total budget that's budgeted in 2014 and then the funding sources. And they would be either REAP 1 and 2 or park impact fees. So it's not general fund money, it's the capital funds for parks, capital improvement projects. So first one, parks master plan update. As we all know, work is underway with our hired consultants to do a cascade along with other updates to the Monroe Comprehensive Plan, which is scheduled for completion in 2015. So we are working with the planning department staff and consultants through the project process. Skate park improvements. The staff is currently preparing a request for proposals for architectural design services for the project. As you recall, we have a really nice conceptual plan and budget to go along with that that actually a citizen of Monroe put together for us and you know, ran through the park board and presented to the council. So we have this really neat project of improvements to that skate park that is going to be amazing. So the next step with that is a architectural design service, so taking that conceptual plan and figures and putting that to construction documents, that sort of thing. So we expect to select a design firm later this spring, but also staff is preparing to write a Washington Wildlife and Recreation Program grant through the State Recreation and Conservation Office for funding to support the construction of those improvements in 2015, which, if awarded, could reduce the costs to Monroe by one half. So that would be a good thing. So the grant deadline is May of this year. So I'll be working on that. Cabin Pit Master Plan, so staff intends to prepare scope for an RFP later this year for master planning services from a selected professional firm through the Municipal Research and Services Center, MRSC, that their consultant roster system. This project will be included in the Parks Master Plan update. Really, we'll be focusing on that, as I mentioned, later this year. First focus is the skate park improvements and writing that grant, getting that in the hopper. And then lastly, Lake Knight Park building upgrade. There's more to come here with construction has been imminent on the Cable Wake Park these past few months at Lake Tide. Also, we just have a short construction time frame due to the heavy load of recreation events. It all starts about April and lasts through August in programs. Staff has chosen to postpone construction until the next construction season at the earliest. So an RFP has been drafted for this project, and this project will also be included in the Parks Master Plan. So I just wanted, as a last note here, that any unspent funds that roll over into the next year if the project has not been completed within a fiscal year, which I have the example of the Parks Master Plan update, which we budgeted a year ago, and it's rolled over from last year to this year, and we'll probably know what the balance of that rollover is next year until that project is completed. So it's not like the projects really follow within one fiscal year. So it's going to be like that. So if you have any questions or comments, let me know.
Council, questions, comments? Councilmember Cotterbeck.
Thank you. Mike, I'll just put a plug in. I told you this privately, but just on the record, that for the skateboard park, it would be great if it was parkour friendly. So I know we have a conceptual plan, but as you're drafting or constructing the architectural designs for it, just kind of plug to keep that in mind.
If it could be what?
Parkour. You know what that sport is?
No, I'm sorry.
So it's where they use, or maybe Mike can explain it better.
I'm not best describing it either, but something the nature of where you're moving through
but you're on the ground, so you're
walking on the rails.
Oh, okay.
Just trying these extreme moves, so just your body, and it's definitely a growing interest.
Okay.
Yeah.
They teach that Sky Valley gymnastics.
Chief demonstrate.
So, walking up walls and.
Google parkour.
Yeah.
If I could just add and respond a little bit. With the this RFP with the scope, what we would like for the moving that concept to the construction documents is to also to continue to include public input.
Sure.
So we really want input from the folks, not only the folks that helped us with the concept, but also anyone else that would be interested in as well. So.
And I love it. You know, it fits into the theme of ride here for the skateboarding park. And just a question about the Lake Tai building upgrades. What exactly, I assume it's that snack building and the restrooms. What are the improvements you're looking to do there? Yeah.
The proposed improvements would include if you're facing the building from the west, say the ball field down below the building, so you're at National Night Out or Econ, any of those events, you're looking up at the building. Mm-hmm. So you're and that's where the we have the movies, we've got music, Shakespeare, all kinds of things. And also with some of those other events I named, that tends to be the central location, you know, where either the MC's there, or the DJ or something, is expanding that building as far as the roof overhang and also the concrete concourse there where there's right now there's a roll-up door that's west facing there. For the concessions, to really just add some enhancements, and you know, our city administrator Jean Brazels was also had some good input on that as well. Like we discussed, like, you know, what sort of improvements we could do to the south the ends of that extending wings using the same kind of roof lines that are at the building to basically create more of a band shell using that existing building, a band shell effect. At the same time, if you all recall, because I know all of you have been there and part of various events and activities, is when you go down that grass slope and where it meets the field, we've had a perennial problem of drainage there where water just collapsed because this field surface just drains out that way. So we would like to use the opportunity to address that as well. So maybe some say like some concrete work, you know, some drainage improvements and maybe you can get a couple steps down there as well. And also another opportunity we want to explore with that is to reorient the main entry of these concessions to the north side of the building. So we have a kind of a side that's the north and the main mm-hmm. Side of the concessions is that west facing side. And this really helps. This has kind of been a long, you know, again, like mm-hmm. talking with Gene's been, you know, been involved with, you know, the public works and in the past and the parks, and this is something that as the park has developed since it's a new park, is that we've seen that, you know, that the north is facing the lake. That would be a great opportunity to address that and to have the concession more oriented towards the park. Mm-hmm. Those would be the proposed improvements.
Thank you.
Anything else from council? All right, let's go ahead and move on to. Thank you, Mike. Let's go ahead and move on to new business item number 2. This is AB 14039, approval of ordinance number amending business licenses and public nuisances, offending morals, and decency. This is the first reading, and Councilmember Hanford.
Oh, if he's going.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Go for it.
Thank you, Mayor.
Is that a whistle, Paul?
Pardon me?
Do you have a whistle?
No, I have a jump drive.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was expecting that we were all going to be doing a core workout or something. So. Paul, please continue. Sorry.
Actually, I have a map of the marijuana zoning if anyone should decide we need it. I'm holding it. Tonight is before you is a first reading for your consideration for these modifications to the municipal code. As you know, and what this does in a nutshell is that it requires that every business that comes in for a business license be compliant with local, state, and federal law. And that's any kind of business. And really, in effect, what it does is we know the focus of this is on marijuana-related businesses that are in violation of state and federal law. and allows or gives the city the, I guess, the internal authority at least to ban, deny that business license. So if someone comes in with a marijuana-related business or some other business that is not allowed by zoning or not allowed by federal law, then the city would deny that license to that applicant. That is, that can be appealed to the state and beyond that to superior courts if the applicant so wishes, but nonetheless it does establish that kind of compliance requirement. Now we do have a first reading tonight and a public hearing for this next week. And if you proceed with that, a second reading is scheduled for next week. So you have the options of continuing the public hearing or continuing it for further consideration or simply adopting it on second reading. But tonight is just the first reading. So with that, can I take any questions?
Okay. We have one light now. Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, I did want to make the motion, but I wanted to ask why we're having another public hearing.
We're having another public hearing since this is, it was decided that this is not about the interim regulations for the zoning for marijuana licenses. It's really about business licenses in general, all kinds of businesses, and that it would be, you know, a little better practice and a little more transparent to have another public hearing devoted to these other code changes. They're related, but it's different. It's a different subject.
Okay.
Thus, in the erring on the side of greater exposure than less.
Sure. I appreciate that. That makes sense. I do want to go ahead and make the motion, but I wanted to just say that for public record, I appreciated the other comments that we heard tonight. There's a fine balance that we have between representing our constituents and fulfilling our oaths to uphold state and federal law and doing what we think to the best of our ability is what's best for our city. And so this has not been a easy issue by any means, but I know that the right thing to do is the path and the direction that we've taken with the ordinance that we passed a few weeks ago and then by pursuing this one. So that being said, I move to accept as first reading ordinance number 003-2014, amending MMC 5.02 business licenses and 6.04.040 public nuisances offending morals and decency.
Second.
Okay. I have a first from Councilmember Hanford. I have a second from Councilmember
Davis was first.
Okay, Kering's pointing down. Okay, Davis. Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Campbell.
Councilmember
Campbell. Yes, sir.
I think I just wanted to state there, and I know I've said this before, but you know the issue in this, and it's actually in this, that you know this has been kicked to the local level when really it's a disagreement between federal and you know and state, and the piece actually there was a comment at the beginning that I remember said, hey, that basically all it was is please do the thing that's not going to get us sued. And I know there's a piece that all of us, we've talked about this up here, is, you know, hey, what is, we know what the, I know what the vote was. Across the board, I know that. I know the precincts, you know, across the board. But at the same time, we need to make a decision that's in the best interest, this is me speaking, from a, you know, what is not going to get us sued. We know that no matter which way we go, that there's going to be people that are going to be upset. But at the same time, when you have a federal law and a state law completely in conflict, I do think from the standpoint of putting us in our best defensible position on trying to do the right thing for the city, regardless of what I personally think, I think that what we have in front of us right now for a first reading is where we should go. And that's what I wanted to get on the record.
Thank you, Councilmember. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I have a question. Is there a timeliness issue concerning this, that we're having a first reading and then a public hearing and then a second reading?
We do that all the time.
So there's no requirement to have a first reading tonight and then a public hearing.
The public hearing was scheduled, but was by reason of the notification time and so forth,
right.
Could not be held tonight. It would have to be held a week from now.
Right.
And we went with the strategy that the first reading can be considered and or approved tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it wouldn't be adopted until there was a second reading. But we want to have that public hearing before you made a second reading and final action.
My concern is having the first reading now with the possibility of a public hearing, and then having the possibility of a second on the same night as a public hearing. I think that restricts public input, and I don't think that's appropriate in this case, if there's no timeliness or timely issue in that regard. Based on that, while I agree with some of the comments I've heard, I'll probably be voting against this, because I do not feel we're getting adequate, giving the public an adequate opportunity. And I would like to see, I think it would be more appropriate to have a public hearing first and then go through the normal process. Thank you.
In terms of time, there is time to build.
That's my concern, is if we have sufficient time to go through the normal procedure, I'd feel much more comfortable with it. Unless there were some manifest issue that is requiring us to go through this procedure.
Okay.
That's my comment. Thank you.
Councilmember Gehring, you were next.
Thank you. I respectfully disagree with Councilmember Camp. This is regular practice. We do first readings, have public hearings, and then have second readings. We're having a public hearing specifically for people to come talk. Whether or not we do a second reading and take the actual final action, which actually makes it into a law, is after we're giving the public an opportunity. So just with relation to not giving people an opportunity, we're specifically doing that. We're specifically giving them the opportunity to speak. And so I was confused when you said I didn't see how that would be restrictive. In fact,
if I may?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
If we were to have the public hearing tonight, if it were possible, then we would have our first reading tonight. And then that would give the people another week to bring out any comments, any additional issues, anything they wanted to include, and then have the second reading. That's my concern. We heard a few voices tonight. But I really don't feel that we're giving them adequate notice.
Legally, we have to give them adequate notice for a public hearing. The public hearing has been scheduled. We've done that. So I almost
legally,
feel like you're saying
that
we're not doing something right, and it rubs me the wrong way. So I'm bringing that up respectfully. I don't think we have any issue doing a first reading tonight, and we're giving everybody full. We got to take some sort of action, and why kick it down the road?
All right.
Again, I do appreciate the comments. And for the record, we disagree.
Councilmember Gamble.
I just wanted a reminder, how many public hearings have we had on this topic over the last 2 years? Chief, do you remember how many?
We've had
to have one every time we've renewed the ordinance, right?
Yes.
For the
we've had two public hearings
the
this year.
Yeah.
And probably at least a couple last year. Each time we took action, we would have to have a public hearing.
So we had at least four or five, and then the last one we extended for two, or for an extra one. That one was a two meeting.
Two part.
So we've had over six. And then this will be our seventh public hearing in regards to this topic. I think we've given enough. That's all I got.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, there is a motion to accept this as first reading and a second. Any more discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-1. I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next new business item. This is the Item number four, AB 14041, review lodging tax advisory committee membership. Who's got this one? Oh. Yeah, let's do number three. So let's go back to number three. I already crossed it off my list here. It's AB 14040, approval of ordinance number 004-2014, amending chapter 1310 MMC pertaining to sewage, pretreatment, definitions, and requirements. First reading. What an exciting topic. Mr. Feilberg.
This is basically a housekeeping amendment. There was some confusion out there when the businesses come into town, whether they're required to have an interceptor, either having a recent interceptor or having a mechanical recent interceptor. It keeps getting more exciting, doesn't it? the current regulations that are in a pretreatment ordinance, the code section 17.08, is unclear about when they're required, and it often comes as a surprise to the owner, developer of the property when they're all ready to go, and it's like, oh, we need to put in a freeze interceptor. So we've clarified the language so it's more clear for them, and it will be brought up earlier in the process if they know that they need one, and we also, rather than making it vague as you need one all the time, if you meet a certain threshold of parts per million of fat soils and greases in your discharge, to that you can actually do some operations, you can do food service more than 12 times a year, you can not have to put one in. And we've already experienced using this with a developer, Natural Packers. Natural Packers, we told them they're in the midst of putting in a demo kitchen for their customers, and they can come wine and dine in. They came in and said, we want to do this 6 to 8 times a year, what do we need to do? And we said, well, if you wait a couple weeks, you won't have to do one because it says 12 times a year. So basically clarifies it for the developers and for city staff and makes it easier for us to know and them to know what is required. So if you have any questions, I can answer them.
Any questions, council members? Okay, Councilmember Cuddeback.
Thank you. Brad, I just had a question. It's stated in there, all plumbing fixtures, garbage, disposable, dishwasher, blah, 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 with drain extent shall be plumbed to appropriate interceptor approved by the public works. So is this for all new businesses coming in? You're not requiring businesses currently?
Correct. Basically, the businesses that are already there have them.
Okay.
So this is a retroactive thing. This is a new thing.
Okay.
We did the retroactive thing. When we established this chapter in the code about 10 years ago.
Okay. So this is just kind of clarifying. What is the cost to businesses to do this?
It depends. The hydromechanical grease interceptor is the, you look behind the counters at your local deli or something, you'll see a black box underneath the sink. Those cost about $300.
Okay.
The other one is more like a septic tank, and that's a couple $1,000.
Okay.
And that's go outside the building.
And that's for probably bigger establishments.
Yes, okay. Dishwashers.
Okay. So. Okay. Thanks, Fred.
Anybody else from council? Okay. There being no other items, shall we move on to the next new business? Nope. Okay. Councilmember Camp.
Never mind. Wrong.
There is a motion.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's why I was checking. Councilmember Hanford.
Move to accept as first reading ordinance number 004-2014, amending chapter 13.10 of the MMC as it pertains to sewage pretreatment.
Second.
Okay. I have a motion and I have a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the topic? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Next item will be new business item number four. AB 14041, review lodging tax advisory committee membership. Who has this one?
Brad.
Oh, again. Brad, go for it.
The city has a lodging tax advisory committee that's required by state law. They do have the lodging tax money to various tourism-related enterprises each year. We are currently now a member. The chairman of the committee is supposed to be an elected official. Previously, it was the mayor. I haven't had that position filled since the first of the year, so that needs to be appointed tonight. It's any elected official appointed by the council. And then the current four members that are on the committee, their terms expire in June 30th. And then we'd like to know if the council would want to allow them to continue if they're so willing. And if so, we will do that and also authorize us to advertise for other members if the people no longer wish to serve on that committee. And you can also change the number of representatives if you'd like.
Councilmember Gehring?
Thanks. Yeah, I think the mayor would be a great person to serve as the mayor person.
Biggest tradition. Roll tonight.
I'm here. You said that I had to be absent to get.
Oh, that's right. All right. Shoot, everybody else is here too.
But just to comment quickly, Brad, on what you had said. For the current members, I'm kind of the mind of, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So if we want to invite them back, if they're going to say no, we should certainly open it up, absolutely open it up to other people who might be, it would be my preference to ask them if they want to continue at that time. If they don't, certainly, number two, make sure there's a, request new applications from other people. I don't know if the mayor wants to do it or not, but I'll let somebody else make that motion. Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Nobody else with comment? Any motions or anything else?
I stalled before, then I'll move to appoint Mayor Thomas to serve as chairperson of the 2013-14 Lodging Tax Advisory Committee.
Second.
Thank you. Okay, I have a first and a second from Councilmember Cutterback. Any discussion? Okay, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. And did we need to take action on the second one, invite existing? Yep.
Do we need a motion?
Yeah, do we need a motion?
Would you like a motion? Yes. Yes, we do want a motion. Councilmember Kemp?
Thank you.
Sorry.
I move that we invite the existing committee members to serve on the 2014-15 Lodging Tax Advisory Committee and request application for new members to fill any vacancies determined thereafter.
Okay. Okay, so I've got a first from Councilmember Camp, and I didn't hear who the second was from.
Councilmember Davis.
I have a first and a second. Any discussion on the item? Seeing no discussion on the motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. We'll go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda, which is AB 14042, authorize the mayor to sign a letter of support for Centennial Trail extension from Monroe to Snohomish. Note that I put down from Monroe to Snohomish.
Nice. Oh, very good.
Oh, well done.
Okay, Council, who would like to present on this?
It says you.
Oh, it says me. Okay. There's a letter. If you'd like to send it, you can make a motion, or if you've got any questions, let us know. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to authorize the mayor to sign a letter of support for the Centennial Trail extension from Monroe to Snohomish.
Second.
Okay. I have a first from Councilmember Gehring, and a second, was that from Councilmember Rasmussen? Okay. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All
aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. We'll now move on to final action. This is approval of 14043, approval of ordinance number 002014, amending animal control regulations, second and final reading. Councilmember Hanford.
Move to adopt ordinance number 002-2014, amending MMC 08.04.055, pertaining to animal control.
Okay. Second.
I have a first and I have a second from Councilmember Davis, I believe. Chief, did you have anything else to add on this before? Okay. Is there any discussion on the topic? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. All right. We're now going to move on to Councilmember reports. Councilmember Hanford.
Nothing tonight. Thank you.
Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. Yes. As I mentioned earlier, we had our first Transportation Committee meeting last Monday. And we discussed a lot of topics. We looked at the transportation improvement plan. We looked at all the transportation projects that were listed. And we had some good discussion around topics that we might address. And as I mentioned before, we wanted to focus on the street funding. And we have that on our agenda for March 10th. Also looking at funding for parks. We're going to talk about that March 10th. And we also talked a little bit about staying more in contact with our state representatives and having Representative Christensen interact with this committee. He's on the transportation committee at the state level, and getting feedback and information from him, and also from Senator Pearson, who sits on public safety. So we're looking forward to kind of setting up kind of a quarterly or information that comes from their office that then we can talk about at the committee level and then relay back to council. And then we did, we discussed the letter for the Centennial Trail, and we were all in agreement and supported that. We also talked about possibly council approving a resolution in favor of that. And we talked about letter versus resolution, and we agreed that a resolution would be good from council. It's more permanent, it's on the record, it's a little bit more formal. And seeing that the Centennial Trail is going to take some time to build, 0 to 5 years at least, a resolution is a more formal document. So I would like to put that forward for council consideration, mm-hmm. that we'd like to bring back a resolution or have the city staff, mayor, bring back a resolution at a later time.
Mm-hmm. Do I see consensus on that?
Nod.
Okay.
Not to nod.
So we'll have a resolution prepared.
That's it. The only other comment was I found the meeting last Tuesday to be great. Really enjoyed the process, and I'm looking forward to next month for transportation and then in April for parks. So, and our committee also agreed that at a minimum one of us would definitely be at some of the workshops for the transportation one and the parks one. So,
thank you. Okay. Councilmember Rasmussen.
In regards to the P4 committee, Councilmember Cutback forgot to mention that we did elect her chair, so congratulations.
I was there.
She was there.
They work a different way over there.
Thank you.
One of the comments I heard from, I think Mr. Hammond, Herman, mm-hmm. yeah, this evening, throughout the idea of, you know, in relation to the trail, extending it from Lake Tai through to Al Borland, and that was something that was discussed within the committee, and something we'll have continued conversations mm-hmm. coming forward, and hopefully we'll be able to bring something to council down the road on that as well, even prior to Centennial Trail from Monroe to Snohomish coming along. So it was a great committee meeting, and you know, I think we're all looking forward to moving forward with it. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Councilmember. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I want to echo Councilmember Cutterback's comments about last Tuesday. It was a very well done meeting, very enlightening. I learned a lot more about the city that I hadn't realized, especially about commuting patterns. And also the exercise was very enlightening to hear how other people. Where we are, where we want to be. Mm-hmm. So very enjoyable, and the group I was in was very involved in it. A lot of fun. And I want to thank my fellow members on the Finance Committee. I am honored to be appointed, voted as the chair, and I look forward to running a well-run ship. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. That's it for me.
Councilmember Davis.
Let me just comment on what's already been said about the P4 committee meeting. It was a very good meeting, and we did discuss all these topics, and I look forward to working more on those. I think we did hear some comments that we had spoken of, so kind of ahead of the game on that, so and I think we'll have a lot more a discussion about that in the future, and look forward to that. And this next meeting is going to focus on again, we've said this already, but it's going to focus on the transportation and road maintenance. So I'm looking forward to it. It was a great meeting, and we had a lot of participation, and look forward to it in the future here. So
great. Sounds good. Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up kind of a somber note, but just an awareness that kind of a pillar in our community, her and her family have experienced a pretty significant loss over this last week. You guys all know Sue Skillen, She was our marshal of the 4th of July parade and the whole nine. And here this last week, she learned that her father passed away. And reaching out to inform her brother, found out that her brother had passed away within just a few hours of her father passing away. So just a real traumatic time for the Skillen family. I just ask that we'd all keep them in our thoughts and prayers. She's a member of the Monroe Rotary. She's our executive director of the Monroe Public Schools Foundation. We as a board have been circulating a group of flowers and stuff. We thought the best way to at least commemorate her father and her brother's memory would be to put a scholarship in their name. So we are collecting monies and funds for that effort in their memoriam over the next couple weeks. So if any are interested, you can reach out. But I thought I'd just bring that to everyone's attention.
Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. I also had a good time last week with the economic development workshop. It was actually a lot of fun. I look forward to the next ones as well. There was a really good group. I think we were in the same group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. So it was certainly enlightening. You know, all the different folks that were there and getting to see, you know, where everybody thinks we are and where we need to be. Some things were pretty much right on with all the groups, and then there were some definite ones that were much different. So, look forward to seeing more of that stuff. So it was really great. Also, on a somber note, I just want to say that cancer really sucks. And longtime friends who were involved in pastor church actually down in Duval, and good friends for a long time. And his wife is terminal. And kind of getting worse every day, and so we've been praying for, you know, miracles and things like that. It doesn't always work out that way, but I was thinking about that along that somber note. Just always just good reminders of what's really important in life, and a lot of busyness and things can get in the way. And it's always important to, you know, hug your kids and mm-hmm. Make sure you don't have any regrets, because you just never know. So. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Councilmember. Going over to staff, we decided we'd start in front. Chief Quinzer.
I only got one thing, and that is tonight a citizen commented that we have a ban on pit bulls in the city. We do not, and if I didn't bring it forward, my three pit bulls would not let me sleep tonight.
Okay, so we're going to hopscotch. Diane.
In your packet are two staff reports that are in regard to citizens that have previously spoken to council, and council asked for staff to do some research. And so that's what these two reports are in regarding utility billing.
If you have any questions about those two, those are responses to the citizen comments that came up a few weeks ago. If you have any questions about those, feel free to contact Gene, and we'd be happy to follow up on responding to your questions on those. Unless you have questions on those right now, which Councilmember Kadebeck might, because
I do.
I just
Thank
noticed
you.
Your light.
Diane, I just have a question about... it says in here that we've operated solid waste services as a utility since the 1980s. When we had waste management, weren't they a franchise?
No.
So they were not a franchise, but somehow they were able to give us free garbage for the city, and they were a franchise? Or they were not?
They should not have.
They were a utility?
Yes.
At that time? Okay. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, we will move on to John. Okay, Brad. Okay, Mike. Okay, Liz. No, you're sitting there. Okay. Gene.
Just want to thank the chief. My pit Rottweiler, commonly called as a pit waller, will sleep better tonight, so thank you.
Pit waller.
A couple quick positive notes for council. Still tons of activity in regards to planning and economic development. We've got a, well, we're actually trying to push it out, a pre-development meeting for a proposed subdivision coming in. It was supposed to be next week, and I think we're going to try and push it out because we've got other things going. Zillow got a hold of me today, which I thought was interesting that they would reach out. I think a week or so ago I mentioned that Monroe was a hot spot, and they had said that on their website, and so they reached out just to want to make sure that we knew they were there. They're here to help. They're actually on our website along with some other listing tools where you can find homes in Monroe. And on one of the sites, it showed that Monroe's house values in the last week have gone up 5.3%. So that's another positive note for everyone.
Yes.
Why don't you go ahead and go through the agenda for next week?
Thank you, Mayor. Draft agenda for March 11th, 2014. Under announcements and presentations, we have the Monroe Music Fest, and Keith Brock will be here for that. We have the public hearing, amending business licenses and public nuisances. The pricing and property executive session at the beginning. Consent agenda under new business, we have traffic enforcement alternatives. It's a discussion item. Approve interlocal agreement with Snohomish County Conservation District. Approved resolution number 006-2014 supporting Million March Against Child Abuse. And under final action, we have approved ordinance number 004-2014 amending chapter 1310 Monroe Municipal Code. That's the sewer treatment plant ordinance we talked about this evening. Any additions or deletions?
Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you, Mayor. Can I ask what traffic enforcement alternatives discussion is?
Yeah. Chief?
We will be discussing traffic issues that we have, school zones, things like that.
Just a general discussion on that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Like, bringing back red light cameras or anything like that?
Pardon?
Not like bringing back red light cameras or anything, right? No.
No red
okay.
light.
Just asking what that was about.
Appreciate it. The focus is on traffic enforcement alternatives. So, right. And I
ask. Yeah. Appreciate that. Thank you for the clarification.
Anybody else? Do have a question for council. The executive session, one of the things that I heard while I was out meeting with folks is that people don't necessarily like coming to council meetings and having those meetings go into an executive session at the beginning. Would council prefer to move the executive session to later in the agenda? And of course, I can certainly ask Gene if there's a preference. Are we putting that early in the agenda because of somebody being available during that time?
Jean will be out for that, and she comes from the Issaquah area.
Would council prefer to keep it where it is on the agenda or move it later on the agenda?
We can move locations.
Move location. Oh, yeah, we can move locations. Yeah, sure.
We've always tried to, we'll put it at the end if it makes more sense, but sometimes it makes more sense because of the key players that are here or whatever, we do it at the beginning. And we can always move.
Okay.
I think it just depends on the topic and what we're talking about and that sort of thing, in my opinion.
Okay. Anybody else?
I think that probably the majority of people will be gone by the time we get to that.
I was just noticing that too, yeah.
So we can probably just have it here and be fine. But
yeah. It's not like we're starting the meeting and going right into an executive session. I noticed that as I was asking the question. So, okay. Councilmember Gamble, did you have anything? Or were you... You pushed your button. Did I just forget to turn it off?
You forgot to turn it off.
Okay, my fault. All right, extended agenda. Did you want to go over anything?
I just tentatively added the Centennial Trail resolution to March 25th, but I will work with staff and ensure that we can get that done for that time period.
Thank you.
Anybody have any questions or comments on the extended agenda? Seeing none. Mayor report, last week I attended the meeting on Tuesday night, obviously. I also went to the comprehensive plan update on the Wednesday night. There were about 25 citizens there, which included a few of the Citizens Advisory Committee folks that didn't make it to the night, to Tuesday night. It was a great event, just like the one the night before. One of the things that was of interest was that they, where'd Paul go? Paul's not here. Was that the cluster of responses was very similar to the night before. So sometimes, you know, planners will expect, you know, you'll expect to see differences, and pretty much they were in the same half of the graph, all clustered very similarly to the Tuesday night, which is good. Thursday night, I attended a ribbon cutting for the for Players Music in downtown. One of our own staff members, Randy, right, from the sewage treatment plant, owns the shop. He's got a lot of guitars in there, really cool to look at, and then he's got some other instruments as well. So I'd encourage you all to swing by and check out that place. It was really nice being able to open up a new business on Main Street and using the older buildings down there. So it looks really, really nice on the inside. Swing by if you get a chance. I think that's all I have to report for my activities last week. If nobody has any questions, we do have a need for an executive session this evening. And so I'm going to go ahead and read that into the record. So I'll just go ahead and read it. Thank you for writing this, Zach. Person to RCW 4230110, is that an R?
One I.
Oh, one little I. The council will now convene an executive session for the purpose of discussing potential litigation with legal counsel. The executive session will last approximately 15 minutes, after which the council may take action in open session. Okay? So we're going to go into executive session now unless anybody has objections. Okay, seeing none, we'll move into executive session for 15 minutes. Thank you. Okay, we're back in session.
Before.
Oh, Councilmember Hanford, sorry. I didn't realize you'd push the light.
Thank
you. We're having a stare off.
I move that the City Council amend the agenda for tonight's meeting by the addition of the following item: a motion authorizing the City Attorney to convey a release of all City of Monroe claims arising out of the 2013 Fremont Street Public Works project that could be asserted against the owner of the real property located at 148 Wood Street in a form approved by the City Attorney and the Mayor.
Second.
Okay, I have a first and I have a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. That is all the business that we have for this evening. Oh, wait.
I think there might be a second motion.
Oh, yes, there's a second motion. Thank you.
Now that we've made that first motion, I move that the City Council authorize the City Attorney to convey a release of all City of Monroe claims arising out of the 2013 Fremont Street Public Works project that could be asserted against the owner of the real property located at 148 Wood Street in a form approved by the City Attorney and the Mayor.
Second.
Okay, I have a first, then I have a second from Councilmember Kant. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Councilmember Camp.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Camp and a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. We are adjourned. Thank you, Council.